Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. The future of almost everything. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, back. It seems like we've been just months Martin since we've had this
I mean,
show.
It's been 2 weeks for me. I was in Quebec, and then, yes. You know, it's weird.
Well, it's great to have you both back in the studio. Local analysis on national business issues, unique technology and community trends and takes on important news you can use. Today, we had a interesting topic on some new corporate speak. CEOs have a new term that's grating on employees. I'm guessing you may even hear this term at some of the national political conventions like the RNC, too. The future of the performing arts, specifically the Marcus Performing Arts Center here in Milwaukee, the future of train travel. We'll have a guest appearance from the executive director of the Easttown Association. Bastille Day starts today right here in the heart of the state, downtown Milwaukee. That's what the shirt Thursday show is all about. Quickly, though, I got some news you can use. If you want to chime in as we talk, the WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. The future of ramp closures in downtown. You need to know this, especially if you're heading anywhere around greater Milwaukee via car this coming weekend and next week. Starting Monday at 2 a.m., vehicle and pedestrian movement, it's going to be really restricted, and access to downtown will be limited. There's going to be 5 entry points to downtown where vehicles can be swept and checked. So just to keep that in mind, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation is notifying motorists of upcoming traffic impacts, too. Just quickly go through this list. You can find more information on WTMJ.com. The Hone Bridge, 794 between Van Buren and Carfair Drive, Sunday morning closed, Monday morning closed, eastbound I-794, access to Van Buren Street and St. Paul Avenue will remain open. McKinley Avenue, Fond du Lac Avenue ramps closed the week, next week for the RNC. I-794 eastbound ramp closed to James Lovell next week. And the Kilbourn Avenue tunnels are closed next week as well. But somehow today, through it all, Stephen Martin made it into the studio. How was your drive or walk into the studio today?
It was fine till I got off McKinley. and then basically it was a game of street hopping. And luckily I found a spot 2 blocks away.
Yeah, there was a lot that was still wide open and only a few blocks more.
I might take a helicopter next time I need to get downtown.
I'd love to hear that.
I got
to
rearrange some stuff next week or I'm going to be in some real trouble. I did not think ahead.
It just feels a little different, you know, weird that you see all these barricades and like ways to keep people from getting certain spots and all like surrounding downtown. It's just interesting.
Also, where do you get all those barricades? Like, is there just a company that like makes them and leases them out?
Yeah,
because they look brand new.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, all the fencing.
Like, yeah, like yeah. They look brand new. Like they were
and
just
the concrete
made.
Barricades right. too. Sure. Yeah, there's not a lot of blemishes on them. Right. They're like just boom down. They look glorious.
And they had a system because they were just that wall was going up like
quick
crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mentioned yesterday to open the show that it feels a little bit like the beginning of the Northwestern Mutual annual meeting where you see a lot more people on the streets kind of walking around with lanyards and badges. Mm-hmm. But with the fencing and the security perimeter, you know, there's almost this like nervous energy in downtown.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really good thing. And I saw yesterday as I walked to lunch, just a lot of people just walking around to see what it's all about. Obviously, that won't be possible in the heart of the city
Right.
next week. But what are your additional impressions coming into downtown for the first time?
It's just, it's different. You know, I mean, Milwaukee's only had a few things like this, a few events like this in the last, you know, decade that were this substantial and took this much infrastructure and planning and choreography. And so it's kind of fun to see. And it, like you mentioned,
it's cool. Fun to see.
The curiosity from the people who live here, it's kind of fun to watch. Hopefully everything is safe and calm and, you know, there's not too much nonsense and stuff going on. And it can be a really positive thing for the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah. Feels very real.
Yes. Right. Yeah. It's definitely real
today.
Now.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. Whoa, it's here. Yeah.
We're just fortunate that we could have had the DNC. We're fortunate that we have something like the RNC and that eyes are on Milwaukee, that we've grown enough where we're part of the conversation for some of these organizations and events. And it makes me happy to see.
We'll be doing the shows from Media Row next week, and I'm lining up a bunch of conversations with local business owners in the area. And it's interesting to kind of hear the talk already. A lot of the processes being changed, new staffing, some doing the exact opposite, saying, hey, you know, I'm going to pull away. I'm not going to have my regulars. So it's an interesting mix. So it'll be great to see come Monday, you know, what that reality is in terms of additional traffic and throughput.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh. What were you going to say?
I always don't know if we're going to go to break, but I've been hearing a lot too from businesses in the hard zone that they are booked.
Yeah, are they?
They are booked now. Yeah,
wasn't it like
it
a couple weeks ago
quiet
the opposite?
For a while.
Good, that's good because that was concerning because the deal was, you know, whether there's going to bring all kinds of people and money to the city. And then for a while we were hearing, well, you know, the venues aren't booked and there's not events and stuff. And so it's good to hear that's finally starting to happen because the city needs that money. There's a lot of stuff that we need to pay for to help better the city and the people. And this can be a huge opportunity for Milwaukee.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Next, Wall Street CEO talk. Will it make its way to Wisconsin? This is The Upswing presented by Horicon Bank. One of the biggest staples of summer is back. It's Cream Puff Palooza. This is the best way to get your Cream Puff fix on ahead of the Wisconsin State Fair. And you don't even have to wait until the end of the month. It's Cream Puff Palooza, and it's back. Registration opens Monday. Stay tuned right here on WTMJ, or better yet, head to WTMJ.com for more details. All right, the future of almost everything, we're back. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn. We talk a lot about workplace items and issues on this show often. The latest cringeworthy corporate buzzword. Have you heard this?
I hope not.
All right. From the Wall Street Journal, you may want to examine or delve into the phrase, which has become persuasive in conference calls and grates on many. It's almost like a joke, some employees are saying.
It's a lot of buildup here.
You need to read the intro of the story. I'm going to read a little bit for you just because it's so well written. The story from the Wall Street Journal by Tiping Chen and Nicholas Miller. Ruben Roy isn't a guy who tends to beat himself up, but he's still chagrined about what he said on an earnings call last month. Roy is the managing director at a financial company, and he heard the chief executive of a healthcare company discuss its latest results. During the Q&A call, Roy asked the speaker to elaborate on those remarks about investment opportunities. Roy said, I wanted to double-click a bit on some of the commentary you had.
My.
And Roy instantly kind of stepped back and said, oh my goodness, did I just say double-click? So it's one of the fastest-spreading corporate buzzwords. Double-click is both polarizing and persuasive, right? Particularly on Wall Street, the figure of speech is now being used as a shorthand for examining something a little bit more, kind of taking it to the next level, like you do, you double click on a folder on your computer.
Oh, we get it.
Some, like Roy, find the idiom obnoxious.
Yes, so Roy's correct.
Double clicking defenders say the phrase encourages deeper thinking. You have the bandwidth for this one, Steve Glenn?
I am 1,000% in on this.
No.
Yes.
Are you serious?
I am going to take double click to the next level.
Steve Glenn, please.
Yes.
I got to. Have you heard this?
I love it.
In a meeting or a corporate setting?
And if I do now, I haven't.
I haven't either.
The meeting's over. You say double click. Whatever interaction we're having, I'm gone. Absolutely not.
Well, that's passion right there.
Wow. So we don't need to circle back on this any later.
I mean, we've had this conversation, the three of us, before about like corporate lingo.
Let's get on the same page here.
I cannot stand words like that, LinkedIn language, I call it. You say double click to me, and it's, you immediately go, like, not go down a couple notches on the respect level.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, honestly, though, you know, creative, easy to remember phrases work in the workplace. They work for speeches. They work for politicians.
Sure.
So maybe we need a little bit more levity and fun, and we need to integrate more of this into our daily lives.
They work. Cringy stuff works because it's engagement bait. And human beings love engagement bait. And like you say something cringy or post something cringy on the internet, of course you're going to get a reaction from people. That's why they do it. They don't do it because double click is a cool, unique word or phrase, or, you know, they do it because it gets people like me riled up and to remember something and pay attention. And so, you know, I get the psychology behind it. It doesn't take away the fact that that's one of the worst words or phrases I've ever heard in my entire life.
What do you say instead if you want somebody to pursue additional action and take the
pursue
next
additional
step?
Action, take the next step.
No,
that's, you just say not double as click. Fun.
You say double click America.
I'm going to get Steve a shirt that just says double click.
I'm going to pay people to say double click.
Double clicker. Oh my God.
All right. Well, I want everyone to just keep this on the radar because it's something that's coming. And if Wall Street Journal's talking about it, and for a couple of years, it's been in corporate presentations, CEOs are using it. Are we going to see it from politicians? Are we going to see it more in our emails?
No, we will.
I think it's happening 100%. Yeah. Like you know, that's the answer so often you hear on podcasts and talk shows. 100%.
100%.
That one doesn't bug me.
I think the double. That one doesn't bug you?
No. Okay.
I say 1,000%.
Ooh. You're next level.
I take
you
up 10 times.
All right.
You know, I'm glad we were able to double click on this topic.
All right. Well, I needed to get that off my chest. I really did. I love the story and I love things like that. So let's, after the break.
Yeah.
The future of the Marcus Performing Arts Center in downtown Milwaukee, corporate funding, county funding, and how you kind of blend the two to continue to move our arts forward. Some may say, well, this isn't necessarily a business topic. I truly think it is, and it's so important to the future of our community. This is The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, join the future of almost everything. We do it every Thursday. What's the future of the Marcus Performing Arts Center in downtown Milwaukee? And what's the future of arts in general in greater Milwaukee? Both obviously have wonderful, amazing impacts in the business world. But first, my very Milwaukee observation here is that way too many people still call the Marcus Center the PAC. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even myself, and full disclosure, I'm a former Marcus Performing Arts Center board member. I still catch myself calling it the Marcus Center or the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts all the time. But anyway, that's, you know that's a Milwaukee problem.
We know what you mean.
We know what we're talking about.
Just like Miller Park.
Yes. So the CEO of the Marcus Center wrote a letter to the county board, provided an update to the Parks and Culture Committee last week, asking for ongoing continued support. The Marcus Center, the Marcus Performing Arts Center is at a pivotal juncture, he wrote in the letter that was sent on June 18th. He said, the Marcus Center would be in a negative cash position by 2026, cited loss of revenue, obviously continued from COVID days. The MSO's move outside of the Marcus Center to their beautiful new location here on Wisconsin Avenue. And just, as you see across the board, increasing costs. You know, Steve, obviously from your seat at MISO, what are you seeing in terms of the ups and downs of funding for arts?
Yeah, certainly not with MISO itself from where it sits. But I do see a number of other arts groups that we all are kind of in the same boat of having to have a mix of funding mechanisms. And part of it is because when you want to make the arts accessible to everyone or as many people as possible, that costs money.
Yeah.
And so I see a lot of support in the city for the arts, but I also see a lot of opportunity to get more people involved so that these kids who would also, you know, some or people would never have a chance to see some of these groups do see these groups.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's not only about funding all the time, but that's the thing that rises to the top for sure. And I think you're seeing kind of across the country, people pulling back a little bit in terms of their attendance at performing arts, but that earned income for arts groups is so incredibly important.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, if you have an opportunity to get into this building, right, the Marcus Performing Arts Center, the Milwaukee Youth Arts Center, any of these places where these things happen, you will see why they matter to this community and why they matter to the young people that they transform, whether those young people are participating or they are in the audience.
Yeah. And then the county's put in $14 million over the last 20 years into the Marcus Performing Arts Center. And the center itself has contributed more than $23 million to improvements. So it's not like investments aren't being made on both sides.
Right.
But, you know, every decrease in funding prevents further opportunities for performances and engagement and outreach. And, you know, it brings up the question, how are we going to continue to fill all these facilities? And do we need as many of the facilities as we have?
Sure.
I'm guessing that might part of that answer is yes. Part of it's no.
Yeah.
I agree. Perhaps we're just overly saturated with facilities and venues for, you know, how many people are attending. But we do. They have to be supported. Performing arts and arts in general is just, it's one of those things in communities and cities where they always are struggling to make money, but they're so vital and necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of people like me who dropped out of college and arts and performing arts and that sort of, that entire world, that's my whole opportunity. That's a lot of people's only vessel for making money and being creative and being fulfilled in life. And I mean, I do a poor job of, I've never even been in that facility ever, which is genuinely shocking. And so, yeah, we got to get butts in the seats and get them to make money.
I mean, the building is in the center or the heart of the arts district of the city.
Yes.
We have that. If there's a building we need to rally around, this is one of them.
Yeah. And obviously having the annual Broadway series that brings touring Broadway shows to the Midwest and to Milwaukee is vital.
Yes.
Rainbow Summer is back this summer outside of the Marcus Performing Arts Center. And The Daily Show will be there next week. So you got a Broadway series, you got jazz, you got dance. There's a lot of things that happen in that facility that otherwise wouldn't if it wasn't funded by both private and public dollars.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I think I said Arts District, Theater District.
The Theater District, yes. So, you know, quickly, Steve, what are you looking at in terms of, like, how can arts groups continue to diversify their revenue sources and kind of reduce the dependence on some of the public dollars? Are you hearing that a lot with groups?
I know a lot of groups think about this. I don't, some are more savvy than others. I think one of the keys to this will be micro donations. Expanding the donor base to the everyday person who can or may or may not be able to get in a seat, but want to see that organization thrive.
All right, coming up next, it's a fast train. It's not a fast train, but it's a packed train.
See that train, the midnight train runs both ways. See that train, the midnight train runs both ways. See that train, the midnight train runs both ways.
Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank. Martin Moore, Steve Glenn, join. A quick follow-up on the last segment. Just seeing on the Business Journal's website today, the United Performing Arts Fund wants to raise $3 million more dollars by the end of the summer and warns that some programs could be decreased or cut entirely without additional community support. They have kind of less than 8 weeks to do that because the end of the summer is coming up quick, it will be interesting to see UPAF, obviously the community-wide arts performing fund that funds a variety of different arts groups. The nonprofit said it's working to reach its 2023 fundraising goal of nearly $10.6 million. So another thing to keep an eye on funding-wise for the arts.
I'll make a donation.
Hey, watch your favorite groups, and because they're all sending out communications, too, to help rally around that cause.
Perfect.
All right. That's good. Microfunding, as Steve mentioned, incredibly important in all sectors. So Fast Company yesterday had this headline. Even Amtrak was surprised by the instant popularity of its new Chicago-Milwaukee Twin Cities route.
Were they?
That's interesting.
I was like, you're surprised?
Yeah, right.
I'm surprised they're surprised.
Wow. So does the success of the new Amtrak Borealis bode well for other regional train routes? Amtrak's Borealis launched on May 21st, and in June, the line's first month of service, it saw more than 18,500 riders. The average is about 300 passengers a day in each direction. Total ridership exceeded Amtrak's forecasts, which Ray Lang, vice president of Amtrak's state supported services, says were already very optimistic, but it exceeded them by 2,900 passengers.
Love it.
What that really means, he says, is that there's strong demand for short distance corridor trains in the United States.
Yes, this is nothing new.
It's just easy.
It is. I take the Amtrak to La Crosse. My brother-in-law and my nieces live there. Driving to La Crosse from Milwaukee is, in my opinion, sort of a miserable. It's just long enough where it's like, I don't want to do it. So I'll take the Amtrak, have a little cocktail in the observation car. Like, it's just floor-to-ceiling windows. Okay. It's awesome. I love taking the Amtrak. It's great to see that they're opening up new routes, and you know, you don't have to tell anybody how terrible the train system is in the United States and in North America, obviously, because we're so big. But it's like these short distance routes are huge, you know, especially when you're traveling during holidays, and it's stress free. Sometimes it can be quicker ish.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing with the travel between here and the Twin Cities.
Yes.
It's still Chicago. 7 hours-ish. Right. So I don't know if you're saving a ton of time, but at the same time, you're saving a ton of stress.
Yeah.
And that's the most important. You're able to get work done on the train.
Eat, have a cocktail.
And kind of be with yourself. Yes.
Play some Wordle.
Yes.
Not get mad at your family.
Yes. Do you take the Hiawatha to Chicago often?
Yes.
Either one of you for work?
I would say every couple of years. I mainly take the Amtrak to La Crosse.
Okay.
I'm probably 50-50 on driving versus getting on the Amtrak when I'm got to head to Chicago.
If I could do it in an hour, I'd take it every time.
All right. Well, that's hopefully the future of train travel, right? Speeding up with high-speed rail.
Nice.
And that would be just a game changer. Yes.
It's
especially between here and Madison. That's what we need.
It's tough to do in North America because we're not Europe. Like there's so much land and so much distance to travel that it's expensive, you know? So I get it. But if you want train travel to succeed the way it should, definitely needs to be faster.
All right. The future of online scams, not something we really want to talk about, but we want to educate a little bit. So this will be a good one for Martin. For the fans, it's a big month of online sales. So the Better Business Bureau has a bunch of tips so you can enjoy supporting businesses during all these July sales that are happening right now. But you got to stay safe and you got to stay alert and you got to really be mindful in terms of the scammers that are out there. This is The Upswing presented by Huracan Bank. Welcome back to The Upswing, presented by Huracan Bank. 5 days until Amazon Prime Day. Just quickly, anyone remember Osgoods? It was this Bartolotta restaurant that opened in 2015 at the Mayfair Collection. Did burgers and Italian beef and custard. It was really good. It closed in 2020 and kind of taken over by Chicago-based Phoenix Hospitality Group. But it was really cool to see kind of Bartolotta's expand upon their... They had this old... former concept called North Point Custard at the lakefront and at the airport. But it was a really nice risk for the Bartolotta Group. But now I got to tell you, the Osgoods out at Mayfair Collection is a new Huracan Bank branch. If you're looking to get insight from the good people at Huracan Bank and you want to walk into a former restaurant and see how it's transformed into this innovative banking spaces with virtual tellers, really cool boardrooms and wonderful space, even a little podcast studio there. Ooh. Check out the former Osgoods, which is now Huracan Bank at Mayfair Collection. That's my tip.
Free burgers when you open an account?
Well, possibly. I don't know. I don't know if I have
that. Hi, I'm Steve Glenn. I'd like to open this account, please.
Yeah. One thing, I don't think you'll get free burgers at Amazon Prime Day, which is coming up. But I wanted to kind of put the lens on safety for buying online. I think it's something that's still on people's minds, especially now. There's so many like look-alike websites out there, social media ads that are a little sketchy, all these phishing scams. Martin, you're an expert in this space. What can people do to protect themselves, especially now, because July, you got a ton of big sales coming.
Oh, for sure. I mean, obviously Amazon Prime Day at cost. That's what I'm ramping up for next week. I mean, don't buy from sketchy websites, you know, like Alibaba and all of those. I mean, stick to name brand websites, like buy your Nikes from Nike.com and you know, buy your whatever pants from Kohl's and don't use sketchy websites. If you get like text messages, some rando text message that says, you know, whatever's on sale, like verify that it's, you know, from a real company or a brand.
It's kind of business 101 to do the research on the seller and the retailer first, right?
Exactly.
I think too often people say, "Ooh, here's a website or here's a listing, I'm going to buy." You should probably step back a little bit and make sure that product is legit.
If you stick to reputable websites, you're not going to have a problem. It's when you start really like cruising for deals and into getting to sketchy websites that you could run into a clone product or a fake product, or you get a box with a brick in it, which you hear about all the time.
Gotta be careful what you double click on.
Yeah. Ooh,
oh,
there you
now
go.
That's fine.
Yes,
I'm fine with that one.
Bringing it back. Any ways to make sure that websites are secure? Here,
just, HTTPS.
All right. Yeah,
do not visit HTTP sites.
But okay. A lot of people see the link and they don't look at the link.
Yes.
Or they don't. You can hover over the link and see what website is it actually going to.
Yeah.
That's a key little.
So there's gonna be a lot of scam emails people are gonna get for deals, and then they'll click on it thinking it's really some brand, and then once you're in there, it's very easy for them to steal your information. Sometimes they're not even trying to scam you with a product. They're trying to just get your information, your credit card number, your social security number.
Scam you later.
Exactly. So if there's some product that seems too good to be true, a Tesla Model Y for, 10 grand, it's probably not true. So,
yeah. Ooh.
What?
I shouldn't have bought that.
Wait, those aren't $10,000?
What about payment? You always suggest paying with a card, or are you comfortable with...
Never use your debit card. Always use a credit card if you're going to purchase with a card.
But you're secure with an Apple Pay or a PayPal as long as you have it established with the credit
Apple
card.
Apple Pay doesn't actually use your actual credit card number. It's a rolling card number. And so they can have it and do with all they want with it, but it's useless after it's used. So.
Yeah. And obviously be kind of wary of any of the retailers that may ask for you to only use your digital wallet or prepaid money cards or any type of non-traditional payment methods.
Sure.
Those are red flags.
Another big one to just be conscious of is a lot of these brands offer like 0% financing for up to 12 months or something like that. And then what a lot of people don't realize is after that 12 months, day one, you get charged all of the interest for that full year. Interest doesn't just start on day 366 or 7 or whatever it is if there's a leap year. So that's just another thing to be conscious of because it can really cost you a lot if you thought you were saving money and then you're like, oh, I didn't make the final payment.
All right. Be aware. Buyer beware for sure, especially during July. This is The Upswing presented by Horicon Bank. Hey, it's WTMJ's Jeff Sherman. Let's give away a gift card to the Mineshaft restaurant in either Hartford or Oshkosh. The Sherman family who live in the North Shore, even in this beautiful summertime period, I want to get the kids out of the house, away from the Xbox, out of the attic, into the $2 million game room at the Mineshaft. Mom and Dad can have great pizza, maybe a drink at the bar. The kids can hang out in the game room. Caller number 6. At 855-616-1620, gets a gift card to the historic Mineshaft. And a friendly reminder that Thursdays, that's today, feature buy one, get one free pizza. All right, joining us on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline, Eddie Sturkey is the executive director of the Easttown Association. The Easttown Association is putting on the annual Bastille Days Festival here in downtown Milwaukee. The iconic 43-foot Eiffel Tower replica has already gone up in Easttown near Cathedral Square Park, which means Bastille Days is here. Woo. Eddie, how you feeling?
Hey, guys. How you doing? You know, I'm surrounded by food right now, but now I really want the mine shaft and the big sandwich.
That's good. That's good. Nice. Well, that will lead. What's new in terms of food this year at Bastille Days? That's a perfect segue. Yeah.
You know, we got a lot of old favorites that have been here almost since the beginning. So Alliances Francaise, Beignet Stand, which is, you know, everyone's kind of favorite. They really have helped kick off the festival since like almost 40 years ago. And then we have two new additions this year. One of them is Shuckers. It's like a seafood concept that's also based in the Third Street Market. And then Kegels Inn, we partnered with on Oktoberfest, which we're bringing back to the park again this fall. And they're a new addition. But otherwise, a lot of old favorites. Cream and Crepe, La Nieppe, which is a really great French restaurant. Alliances Beignets, as I mentioned before. And then Lake Park Bistro from Bartolotta's. So you really can't beat that.
Wow. All right. So Milwaukee's annual four-day French-themed celebration begins today, Eddie. Tonight, 9 p.m., what's happening? I'll be there. I'm already stretching a little bit. If you watch online, you're seeing I'm kind of like getting ready.
You know, it's 4 days of like almost chaos leading into it, and then 4 days of just like absolute fun once it starts. And Milwaukee's oldest and largest free community event and cultural festival in the downtown area. And 9 o'clock, Storm the Bastille. So, you know, back again since like 1980. And bigger than ever before. So we actually capped our actual registration at 4,500. And we anticipate surpassing that this year. We usually have a lot of people that show up that don't register, you know, which we're fine with. Storm the Bastille actually acts as one of the biggest fundraisers for our festival overall. So we always encourage people to register. Plus, when you do, you get a T-shirt. You get, until we run out, you get a free beer or water this year. But if you also just come down and want to participate in the race, that's fine, too. We just ask you to purchase a beverage or make a small donation and just have a good time.
All right. Very good. Any unique challenges just with closures and parking given the RNC next week?
You know, so far it's kind of been the opposite. So what's nice is that most of the RNC activity is all happening, you know, 5 blocks from us west of the river. So if anything, the East Town area of Milwaukee is completely open, and, you know, we're looking to, you know, bring everyone to our area of the neighborhood. And we even partnered with Power Parking, who has three adjacent parking garages a block away from our festival. And if people use the code PARIS, they can get 25% off. So even if you're not coming down to our festival directly and just want to come down to a local restaurant or business in the East Town area, feel free to take advantage of that. Code is PARIS and any of the Power Parking lots.
All right. Always making it easy.
That's right. That's what it's all about. So the East Town Association, quickly, Eddie, unlike West Town Association and some of the other business improvement districts in downtown, is truly a membership-driven organization that puts this event, Jazz in the Park, the Saturday Farmers Market on. How is organization funding, and kind of what have been some of the unique opportunities and challenges around fund development, knowing that it just takes so much work and sweat equity to put on large-scale events like this?
Yeah, a lot of people do confuse us with one of the tax-funded bids, and unfortunately we are not. We have been around since the late 1960s and very, very active with our community events since, I want to say, over 40 years for Bastille Days. East Town actually helped kick off a gallery night downtown and has been involved in a lot of initiatives that still live on today through other organizations. But we're funded strictly through donations, our beverage sales, and our sponsorship. And so anyone that's out there, we have an active fundraising campaign right now where we're trying to surpass $100,000 this year. So you can go to our website. Otherwise, we'll have QR codes all over our events this season. And, you know, come down, grab a beverage. Even if you're at Jazz in the Park or Bastille Days, that helps us out a lot.
Very good. We'll see you at Storm the Bastille tonight. Eddie Sturkey, Executive Director of the East Town Association. Bastille Days begins tonight.